Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Good middle of the, maybe you're listening to it at 2 in the morning. Wonderful to be with you as we move together through this chapter, which is actually a quarter of the book, and we're about halfway through, and this is recording 14 on the life and times of the knower of Allah, Rabi'a al-Adawiyya. May Allah be pleased with her. We're currently on page 72 at the very top. And we'll continue drinking from her presence, inshallah. A'udhu billah minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah rahman rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين آمين آمين. Top of page 72. When Rabi'a was in her mihrab, I don't believe I know what that is, in her mihrab, she would always call to Allah to drown her in His generous outpouring and include her in His noble mercy, always asking with a humble heart and with complete unshakable certainty in Him. Rabi'a, may Allah be pleased with her, was a leader in the love of Allah, the love which includes all happiness and its loftiness, faith and abundance, and which includes the love for everything in existence, all creatures, since they are created by Allah, and exalted and mighty is He. She knew that there is no separation between the lover and the beloved, and only that there are words that come from longing and a depiction that comes from tasting. Whoever tastes knows, and whoever describes it is he who is the describer. For how can one describe something in whose presence one is absent, but in whose existence one is present, and in whose sight one is melted, and in whose separation one is confused, and in whose happiness with Him one is bewildered in the passionate love. Fear keeps the tongues silent, and experiencing prevents the cowardly from seeing the pure ones. And jealousy blinds the eyes with illusions, and wonderment shuts out the minds from destiny. In the presence of the beloved, there is a constant astonishment and a necessary confusion. And hearts made mad in love, and secrets untold, and annihilated bodies. As Rabi'a said, my cup, my wine, and the drinking friend are three, and I am longing in the love to be the fourth. My cup of delight and happiness, my cup bearer rotates continuously on the path. When I look, I only see Him, and if I am present, I only see Him with Himself. O you, my supporter, I love your beauty, and by Allah, my ears hear no other than you. How long I have been in my burning and attachment to you, my eyes overflowing with tears. Nor do my tears cease, nor does my description of Him remain, for I cannot stop my painful tears. One of the stories related about Rabi'a, may Allah be pleased with her and her blessings, tells us of how one day A thief entered her house and looked around her room, but could not find anything to steal except a water jar, and he was about to leave when Rabia said to him, "Please do not go away without taking something." And the thief was surprised by her words and replied, looking around him, "But there's nothing here except this water jar. What should I do with that?" Rabia said, "Take the jar and go into that room and make ablution. And then pray to Raku, and you will leave with something." This was the first moment of life, of light, in the thief's life. And he did what Rabia told him to do. He took the water jar, made ablution, and then stood up to pray. When Rabia saw him standing there, she realized that Allah's mercy would make him repent. She raised her hands to the heavens and said, "O Master and Lord, this man came to my door, but he did not find anything with me. So I have let him stand at your door. So do not deny him your mercy." And she looked at the thief. She looked at the thief to see what was happening to him and what effect the prayer would have on him. She was happy to see him absorbed by his prayer until the dawn came. He tasted the sweetness of belief for the first time and felt something of intimate conversation. He was like a sick person who has suddenly been cured of a dangerous illness. He felt goodness and healing in his whole body and felt its beauty and its sweetness. This was the case of the thief who had entered Rabia's house bringing with him his devil, a shaitan, who had been whispering evil into his self, nafs. But Allah's mercy took him away from his evil clutches. When Rabia went to him at dawn, she found him in prostration and in bitterness and sorrow, saying, "If my Lord would not have said to me, 'Are you not ashamed to disobey me? You hide the sins of my creation and you come to me in disobedience.' Then what strength would I have when he chastises me and punishes me?" Rabia asked him, "How was your night?" The thief answered, "Good. I have stood before my Lord in my lowliness and insignificance, and he has accepted my excuse. He's healed my wounds and has forgiven me my sins. He's given me what I have asked of him." Then he left Rabia's house, but with another heart than the one he had entered with, and another self than the self he had before he met Rabia. He was completely changed. He was completely changed as if he had been reborn. The thief in him had died. For the first time, sorrow for the time he had lost had taken him over. Rabia lifted her hands to the heavens and said, "O Master, O Lord, this man stood before your door for one night, and you accepted him. But I have been standing before you since the moment that I first knew you. Have you accepted me also?" Rabia was called to, "O Rabia, because of you, we accepted him. Because of you, we brought him close." She then bowed her head to the ground in shame before Allah and said, "How can I explain my thanking? How can I explain my thanking my Master and Lord for what he has felt to honor me with? I am the weak creature, and does she deserve all that blessing from her generous Lord?" She stood up to pray, and tears ran down her cheeks in thankfulness. It was also related that once she went to make the pilgrimage to the Kaaba, and she had a small donkey with her for carrying her belongings. On her journey and in the middle of the desert, the donkey died. One of the men in their caravan said to her, "Our animals will carry your belongings for you." But she replied, "I wasn't depending upon you when I started out on my journey, but I was depending upon Allah, exalted is He. So please, continue on your way without me." The caravan then continued, and after they had left, Rabia called out to Allah, saying, "Is this the way the kings go about their weak? Is this the way the kings go about with their weak, helpless slaves? You've asked me to visit your house, and I have answered what you asked of me. And now you tell my donkey to die on the way, and you leave me alone." The moment she had finished voicing her complaint, the donkey shook itself and stood up. She put her belongings on it and continued her journey until she overtook the caravan. One day, some righteous people visited Rabia, and as was her habit, she talked to them about worshiping Allah. And she asked one of her visitors, "Why do you worship Allah?" And he replied, "Because I fear the fire." And she asked the same question to another one of them, who said, "I worship Him out of fear of the fire and longing for the garden." Rabia then said, "How poor is someone who worships Allah the Almighty, hoping for the garden, or from fear of the fire?" She was silent for a few moments and said, "Then if there were no fire or garden, you would not worship Allah, exalted is He." The two visitors looked at each other without saying anything, and then they asked her, "And you, why do you worship Allah?" She said, may Allah be pleased with her, "I worship Him for His own sake. Is it not enough for all the blessings He has given me that He wants me to worship Him?" With this, Rabia, may Allah be pleased with her, made clear the station of worship which she had reached. She worshipped Allah out of love for Him, longing for Him, and in acknowledgement of His graces and blessings upon her, by which He ordered her to worship Him. She worshipped Him with her heart and her tongue and all of her senses. She worshipped Him while she was awake and while she was sleeping, because her heart was imbued with His remembrance and her breath was used for supplication and humble prayers. She prayed to Him as a person who expects to meet Him any moment, because every call to prayer reminded her of the call on the day of resurrection, and this reminded her of the state of the day of congregation and reckoning. This witness of the love of Allah, who walked the path to Allah and His knowing, announced to all seekers how they could walk as she did, so that they might come out from their existence, from the world of the kingdom of Mulk, to the world of dominion of Malakut, to the world of omnipotence of Jabarut, to the world of Allah, Allahut, so that through their walking they might reach all the meanings of the truth. Peace be upon you, O Rabia. From the day you were born to the day you left this world of the senses to be in the world of meanings, Al-Mana. May the holy spirits of these lovers be ever encircling in the world of the truth, Al-Haq, in proximity to Allah, their Lord. And may Allah be content with them, and they with Him. And this is for those who fear Allah. Brings us to the second half of the story of Rabia, which is entitled Another Story of the Life of Rabia al-Adawiya. But it's also a good place to stop. There's another few readings in this chapter. So that ends the 14th reading. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.